Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we got a Sunday strategy session going on this day, and it is an auction. This is exciting. It is a subscriber strategy session. Keith is here, and he has a Safe Leagues auction that he did, and this is really the first foray that I have into covering auctions, and it's been something people have asked about. I'm excited to do it here. And we're gonna dabble a little bit and see what we can do about this auction that you did. Started what, back like late May? Is that about right?
Yeah.
So it starts late May and then sort of runs into early June. What did you do in terms of, I know this is a conversation that I don't know if you and I specifically had or we had in the group chat, but we like tried to crowdsource is the right word, but look up some stuff. And I've been able to sort of do a little bit more work on some auction numbers recently as well. Sort of as yours was going along, I got my hands on some more, and it'll probably be something that we do more coverage of. So you're really the first, you're my first guinea pig in sort of all of this. What did you think in terms of going in strategically, sort of putting a plan together in place? What did you think about?
So I laid out roughly what I wanted to spend, particularly at quarterback and tight end, in this format and sort of ballpark what I was going to do. Now, the problem was I could only find the one auction that had run like 2 weeks before that to sort of use as a singular data point just to get an idea. And auctions can go all over the place. So it gave me a ballpark, but it doesn't exactly go to plan after that. So I had really determined I was going to spend up to 25% on one of Mahomes, Allen, or Herbert. And then I put down Stafford for 130 in that ballpark, and that doesn't work. We can worry about that later. And then Kelce or Kittle was supposed to be around 90. Waller was punched in for 80, and Goddard was in for 70. So that added up to about 240 and about for tight ends. And then I had, 38% in for quarterbacks in theory, just ballparked going in.
So your plan was something close to like about 400 for quarterbacks overall in terms of a top three, then plus Stafford 130.
Yeah.
And then you were going to triple hit the tight end position with Kelce, Kittle, and Waller.
Yeah. Kittle or Kelce, I would have taken any of Kittle, Kelce, and Waller in any range, two of those three. And then I had Goddard as tight end three. In the one that I'd seen, again, it was don't matter, but he was down near 70. So that's what I ballparked in and sort of went from there. I had ranges in for wide receivers and running backs, and I had targets, and a lot of them I did get, but it wasn't as important to me.
Yeah. So it's interesting in terms of, what did you in terms of the order of the auction? Like how did the nominating process go? Let's start with that.
So everybody can nominate five players at a time.
Okay.
So there's 60 players out there at a time, possibly. Not everybody puts five out. So it's something like that. I mean, early on, most of the players going out are the top 25 players are mostly on the board pretty early. You've got a 16-hour clock. If nobody tops your bid after 16 hours that you were in the lead, you win. If anybody goes ahead of you at any point, the clock resets. And that does make it interesting. There's a couple points in this we can talk about where I just sort of got messed up on working the clock versus getting beat. But yeah.
So, okay. So at any time there's a bid that sort of outdoes the next bid, right? If someone bids higher than the previous bidder, that resets to 16 hours.
Yeah. But if you're the lead bidder, you can put a proxy bid in up as high as you want to continue to hold them. And you won't get reset until somebody goes ahead of your proxy bid. So you're leading somebody at 100 and you put in 120 as a proxy, they can bid you all the way up to that, but it won't reset the clock until they go to 121.
Gotcha. And they won't know that that proxy is in place until they bid and it fails, right?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. And so you're only charged with that proxy. You're only charged for what actually the player goes for. Not if if you had put in $500 on Jamar Chase, for example, and Jamar Chase goes for you know, he goes for 196 in this. You're not charged for 500. You're only charged for what the actual winning bid was.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. Cool. So you, it would be awesome if like some of those weird things happened where people put like crazy high bids,
yeah,
and that you had matching like dueling like $350 bids on like some player. Like, I want this player too. And it's just a meeting of the minds that totally bends the value curve. So did you have a strategy in terms of, you know, as we sort of look through here, it's like Cup, Henry, Adams, Chase, Herbert, Jefferson, Deshaun Watson. And we're talking like in the first couple of minutes of this thing going off, like you already have some heavy hitters. The point being, like, you have some heavy hitters going off the board first. Did you have any strategy on sort of nominating in that context?
I wanted to nominate people I didn't want, who I thought would go for a lot of money for at least three of my nominations.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to make sure the top three quarterbacks were out. I honestly forget who I nominated, mm-hmm, now that I wanted, but I know I put Lamb out there because I knew I wasn't going to buy him. It didn't matter. I wasn't going to go where it was going to go. So, mm-hmm, people like that, early on, after, mm-hmm, the first, like, you know, 60, 70 players are off the board, the next time you get a chance to nominate, I know I was making decisions based on guys I know I wanted, and I wanted to see where the price was going to go so I could pivot somewhere else if I couldn't get them.
Yeah, I really dig that. Like, in this, in for you, like, that one of the first people I would have nominated would have been TJ Hockenson, because I would have wanted like a lay of the landscape in terms of kind of a range of what that level of tight end would have gone for. And not that I would have necessarily wanted TJ Hockenson, but I kind of would have wanted to start him off at a low bid and sort of see what the market reaction to it was. And then it would have given me a gauge for sort of what the interest was. And then it would have given me a price point of which I could have valued Waller, Goddard, you know, those guys relative to it. So I think that's an interesting, like, that's again, so the, like, the top three quarterbacks being out there initially is like helpful for that process. Right. And then you can start seeing, you know, then if you have like, especially if you have tiers too, to sort of get a bookend of the tiers that you sort of want, you can kind of know, all right, like, this is, I can sort of pinch these together as I'm sort of going, I can sort of say, okay, like, this is kind of what this combo is going to end up going for. So I do like that kind of pricing in the range of, and especially a guy like Lamb, then you kind of know, again, that's kind of like the second tier, the beginning of the second tier wide receivers, you'll sort of have an idea of what that'll be, and you can adjust going along. So I really dig that. So it's a barrage basically of guys off the top. What was your plan in terms of, like, were you going to go balanced? Were you going to go stars and scrubs? Were you going to, you know, what was sort of your angle there in terms of how that was going to go?
I was going to go supermax quarterback. Mm-hmm. I wanted Mahomes, Allen, or Herbert, and, mm-hmm, I was going to bid until I found whatever I needed to get one of them, and, mm-hmm, then sort of adjust from there. I wanted the elite tight ends, or at least elite, mm-hmm, production. I knew I wasn't going to get Pitts, because I wasn't going to pay what he was going to go for. And he went for over 200.
Mm-hmm.
And while I want Andrews, it really didn't fit my budget. Andrews was out early, and I still needed to figure out quarterback two, which turned into a long string of fiascos trying to settle on quarterback two. And I wanted to keep flexible, so I couldn't go in there. So in the end, I knew I was going to go for Kelsey or Kittle, because I didn't think they would go too high because of their age. And then that's where I was on them. With wide receivers, I had written down like Evans, Allen, and, I mean, I wound up with them because those are just guys I knew that would go around 50 because they're not shiny and young, but I was getting production. And then same thing with the running back. I was going to go old at running back, mostly old and productive. And yeah, that was sort of the plan, was spend up on quarterback and tight end, find production at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, no, so it's a very, I don't know if you'd call it traditional AOD, but that would sort of fit the general strategy there in terms of what we would be looking to do. So it's interesting. So I went through and I actually looked at how your guys ranked. So in terms of prices paid, so Herbert was number three at 246. Rodgers was actually the 32nd most expensive player. So you think like mid third, that's probably, if you're pricing it out, that's about around where he would go in drafts. Kelsey is at 35, Goddard is at 38. And then Eckler is at 58. So I think it's interesting, like those in particular, Goddard ahead of where he typically goes in drafts, but a huge discount on Eckler. So if you sort of add those up, like that ends up being a pretty good value. You end up getting, let's see, Evans at 75, Allen at 81. And then it's Fournette 87, Connor at 106. So that's basically your top, you know, nine rounds. You basically got, you got nine guys basically in that range. And then you kind of, you fleshed out pretty good in sort of the middle. You go Knox, Tony, Goff, Gallup in sort of that 9 through 11 range. So you kind of hit there. So you're actually ahead of the pace. And then you sort of, you fall off pretty good later on in the draft. You pick a bunch of guys at like $1 and $2, which I kind of like.
The other thing in the format is remember the budget carries over. That's your waiver budget for the year.
So talk to me about that. What was your plan? Did you have like a,
I wanted to make sure I had $30 or $40 because I knew from doing at least one last year myself, everybody spends almost all of it. So they're almost all under $10. So in the end I wound up with like, I don't know, 35, 36. And I think I have the third most money. So you can do $0 bids in this format for waivers. So people with no money can just bid zero. And if you bid a dollar, you're going to top them. So it's nice to save some money. I know one person saved $80. They're way ahead of all of us. And then it's somebody at 40 and me at 36. I think anything in that $30 to $40 range lets you do some $1 bidding and be able to top most everybody.
Sure. So you end up having, so I like that. I would, that's, I think, a strategic consideration too, in terms of what you're, right, what's your, how much stars and scrubs do you want to go? Because I think in that form, like if you're going to go, if you're going to go pure stars and scrubs, like you want to go, you don't want to leave any money on the board, because you're sort of, your operating theory, if you will, is that you're going to get, you're going to end up getting not super helpful players there, right? Where vice versa being the, you know, if you're like balanced and you want options and stuff, it ends up being, you say, okay, I do want some of that money. So I do think that's a strategic, there's not a right or wrong, but it ends up being probably more of a strategic thing. And how much you think that waiver wire is going to help you. And it sounds like from your experience, like you kind of knew that it was going to be helpful to you.
It gives you a chance to bid on, you know, a few players and know that you're really only bidding against a couple other people that are going to be able to bid. Like $5 is the max budget for quite a few teams. So if you're bidding five, you know, you're going to beat about 2/3 of the league already.
Right. So you end up with, I did the breakdown in terms of the quarterback position. You end up spending the fourth most, the running back position, you spent the eighth most, wide receivers, the second to least. And then you went the second most at tight ends. So you really attacked the quarterbacks and the tight ends and went very sort of lean and mean in the middle parts of the, you know, in the non-premium positions, I guess you would say. Overall, it ends up being 14 running backs, which is pretty solid there. And then it is actually six wide receivers, Evans, Allen, Tony, Gallup, Lockett, Fuller. So Fuller for $1, Lockett for $9, Gallup for $20, Tony for $32, Allen for $51, and then Evans for $57. So I think it's actually a good blend. You have to start three in the format.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, you have your three, right? You could start your three and then sort of figure out from there. Gallup's kind of your, or Gallup might take some time, but
yep,
Fuller being kind of your, the guy you're kind of waiting on to sort of see, is this deep enough type of position? How does the, so we sort of did a little bit of breakdown of your team and the construct of the actual players. Talk to me about like the process of nominating, and you're watching bids and sort of how that all goes.
So you don't have to check in all the time, all day. Like, you know, it's a 16 hour clock. Mm-hmm. And if you're not close to the end of your bid cycle, like, I'm not watching every minute because people are going to throw players out and get 16 hours. But I think you always want to check in the morning. There's a couple of good reasons. If you can get ahead on a bid in the 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern hour, your timeout time is overnight, which people aren't sitting there hopefully at 4 in the morning deciding to top your bid. So it's a nice way to do it like that. If you can, you won't have people sitting there constantly bidding you up at the end. Although,
so 9 to 11 in the a.m.
It's a good time to get a bid in if you want to get a lead, you're willing to go high. Now, because if you do it at night, if you take a player at, you know, 10 a.m. or 10 p.m., they're going to time out in the afternoon, like in the dead of the day.
Okay.
As far as watching bids, though, that quarterback one is really the one I watched the most. I had so many different leads. I was ahead on Mahomes by myself for a while. I lost out on Mahomes, so I pivoted to Herbert. And I wound up getting the lead on Herbert, and I was like, okay. So I put, so I had 246. I had a proxy up to 255. I was like, I want to make sure I get this.
Sure.
So that happens, and I do get Herbert. But now I've got to figure out quarterback two that's going on. And I get up on Dak all the way up to 199, and I'm leading because Stafford had gone up. I had Stafford first. I had him at 145. Lost him, and I bid it up, and tried to figure out where the stopping point was, and I eventually let it go at 165. So I pivoted to Dak. Now I'm in on Dak. We're going to the overnight cycle. I'm like, I'm up. I'm going to win Dak. It's okay. I'll figure out the money elsewhere. The problem is, in the same cycle overnight, Stafford is going to time out at 165. Mm-hmm. We're out of Supermax quarterbacks after that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really bad thing. It's like, if I don't get Dak, my next move is going to be where? And I put the bid up to 206. I didn't, based on the other auction, he was down at 183. I was like, this should be enough. Nobody has bid me up in 13 hours. I'm going to bed. Mm-hmm. And I woke up and I didn't have Dak anymore. He had gone up to 205 and I pushed again to a six, to a seven. I got to 212 and I was like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore right now. I got to figure out somewhere else to go.
So he ends up being at 212, which is, let's see. It actually ends up being, let me see if I can get this right here. I think it's the fourth or fifth highest one.
He's going to be behind Lamar and Kyler because they got bid up late. They got to close to 240. Maybe one of them got to 241.
Yeah. So Dak is seven. Okay, so it goes off Allen 255, Mahomes 255. So they tied 246 for Herbert, Jackson 241, Kyler 234, 230 for Burrow, and 212 for Prescott. Interesting that there's a big gap between him and Watson that actually Wilson is in the middle of. So
yeah, Russ got bid way. I mean, again, it was another quarterback I would have been willing to have, and like, just looking at a price point, it's like, I can't make this math work right now.
Right.
What I wanted to do.
Right.
Now, the one team that did get Mahomes and Allen, I actually, they traded for the extra waiver budget by trading away their picks. They got an extra 130. Mm-hmm. And I actually liked what they did. It works. They got Waller at least a tight end. So they have some production there.
Yeah. So this
5-10
team
for them.
Yeah, so this team is so it's Allen and Mahomes. So that's 255 a piece. That's 510 total out of $1,000 budget. So they go 50% on that. Najee Harris, Christian McCaffrey, and Waller. And you said they said their picks for Najee Harris, right?
They sent their picks for $130.
So that's what Najee Harris costs. So Najee Harris costs $135. So if you're thinking selling all of your rookie picks for next year, you get Najee Harris. He's a 22nd player off the board. So that's an interesting way to, I think about it overall. And then McCaffrey, like, this is the funny part about these things. McCaffrey's the 38th player off in valuation. $45 cheaper than Harris, right? So that's a, so Harris goes for 50% more than McCaffrey does, which is wild. When you start thinking about sort of the arcs of these things, and then his team ends up being, so he's got five guys in the top 44 in terms of cost. And then he's got a bunch of guys between 87 and like 117, and then a kind of a big drop off after that. So yeah, so it's interesting. He's his second or his third quarterback, I guess, is actually Carson Wentz. And he actually runs it back with Mariota, which is, so he basically spends $39 additional on quarterbacks after going double super max. I'm not sure I would do that. Right. I don't know if, I don't know how, why, you know, could you spend, and by way of reference, like $40 got you David Montgomery. You know what I mean? So when you start thinking about that, that is actually real. That is a real amount of money to be spending on backup quarterbacks when you go for guys you're probably not going to play. I think it's an interesting, you know, when you look at that, like that plus Chuba Hubbard for $5 gets you his wide receiver one. You know what I mean? Like you start adding those things up and you're like, okay. Yeah, that's certainly an interesting construct. What do you think in terms of, like, how do you feel coming out of this from a team build perspective? Do you like the way you're pointed?
I do. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, Rodgers was not my ideal quarterback too. He's going to be productive.
I don't think we finished that, by the way. So we go through, you lose Prescott.
So I lose Prescott and now and you had I given have up excess on money.
Stafford. Is that right?
Stafford had sold overnight. While I was asleep and lost Dak, lost the top bid on Dak.
Because
it was going to all time out overnight. I was going to win Dak in the morning in theory. But anyway, so Stafford's gone. The other quarterbacks in my price range are gone. I think people are still bidding on Kyler and Lamar, but I'm not going to be able to go there either. Mm-hmm. So it's now my time. I have an open nomination slot. So I put out Rodgers and I put a proxy bid in of 20, and I just assume I'm going to get him. He had been going for 80 in the other one, and I think I would have got him for about 80 if one other person hadn't decided to bid up late. I wound up getting him for 100. But what I was able to do with the money that I sort of saved from Dak is I rolled it into Eckler. It's basically, I think Eckler's going at a good price here. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan on spending $70 on a running back, but it's like I get a chance at a top five running back for this year for $70. It's like, well, we'll do that. So
right. And you end up like you look at this thing and it can really turn, like you have some candidates to finish really, really high at their positions this year with some nice blend of longevity as well. Right. So you got the quarterback anchor, and then you go Kelce, Goddard, right? So two guys that we really like at tight end. But you go Eckler, Fournette, Connor, right? So that gets you up there in the, you know, with access to top six finishes with all of those guys. I don't think any of that is an unreasonable sort of, I wouldn't say projection, but they're not unreasonable outcomes to think are possible. So I do like where, and they're all, I think, projected as running back ones last I checked. So good stuff there.
They were just cheap. I mean, it was what, 37 and I don't know, 45 for
right. Fournette and Connor's the 106th most expensive player, right? You think about that. That's 87 for Fournette. So you're thinking,
I think Brevin Jordan went for like 34 or something.
Right.
I'll take this guy.
For sure. So you end up doing you get Dawson Knox as well. So your tight end situation is pretty solid with Kelce, Goddard, right? So you actually go higher on Goddard than you intended to spend, right?
Well, again, if this is one of those things with auctions where if you could go back and change things that happened before, you'd do it. Right. So when Waller was on the board, I didn't have quarterback two settled and I didn't know where the money was going.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to push in over $85 on Waller in case I was getting Dak, because I figured I had to adjust. And I was thinking I'd just do two high-end tight ends, which is what I wind up doing anyway. But I was thinking, instead of doing Kittle or Kelsey, Waller and Goddard, I was going to do Kittle or Kelsey and Goddard. So I didn't put the money in and bid him up. He went for like 86, which I probably would just have bid on Waller and seen how that went. But just because he was cheaper than Goddard, I'm not even sure who will be better definitely this year, but it was like, you're giving me a $4 discount. But yeah, so when I didn't do that, Goddard, somebody, there was one other person willing to bid with me on Goddard. And because I had him at, I think I had him at 78 for a while, and somebody pushed him all the way up. I had my proxy in at like 95 just to make sure I got him, and wound up at 90. And then with Knox was just the bottom of that bucket of that group of tight ends. He was the one that was going the cheapest, and I wanted another starting tight end before we got to the Gronk. Like, I was like, nobody else has money. I'm going to buy Gronk no matter what.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I kind of take that as a strategy. Like, you see the, and as it goes along, you see the player that you want. You say, all right, like, I'm going to make this happen because the way it's played out, like, this is the player, this is what I want him at. And I am not going to settle for anything but that. It's easier to do, especially as sort of money goes by, but it's actually not even that expensive for Gronk. Like,
it was 11, I think, right?
Let's do it's 11 for Gronk, and let's do a dramatic reading of players that go ahead or at Gronk's cost. Here we go. Adam Trautman, Gerald Everett, both go for $11. Evan Ingram for 14, Jelani Woods for 15, 17 for Dulcich, 18 for Tanyan, 20 for Joku, 20 for Hunter Henry. And then you get going up into some other guys, but Alberto 40, Trey McBride 40, Brevin Jordan 34, right? In the top 112 guys off the board. So yeah, it's interesting. Like, when you sort of get to that point, like, all right, I'm going to, and you take him as a four, right? And then he's a, like, you can roll him out each week. Like, you've got that opportunity to go and play him as a starter in any week, and you haven't lost anything if he doesn't play. You haven't really lost anything. So I definitely like that, especially at the cost. Like, those are the bets that can really make a difference for you that are high upside. And there's not a ton of guys in that range that are really doing that. Like, that's what the cost of, by way of reference, like, just some other positions. Sam Darnold goes for that. JD McKissick goes for that. Josh Palmer goes for 10, right? Like, and it ends up, like, it's really interesting. Like, you start looking at some of these teams, like, someone went Laviska Shenault and Pierre, like, they went, like, there's a team in here that goes Jimmy Garoppolo, Laviska Shenault, Pierre Strong, all for $10. And you think about, like, okay, that's 30. That could have gotten you, 26 could have gotten you Zach Ertz, right? Like, yeah, you just start looking around at it and you say, okay, well, what's, you know, and it ends up becoming, like, I think as you sort out, it becomes, hey, we want to aggressively be on star guys and we can risk some of the, you know, there's not a big difference between the guys that cost $10 and the guys that cost $1. There's a bigger difference between the guys up at the top of the board. So, so yeah, definitely. Like, I think you see that in not really your team, but I think in some other teams as well. In terms of your roster construction, I want to ask you a couple specific guys. What's your thoughts on, like, so Gallup goes for 20. Do you have, like, how do you feel about that now?
Well, my thought with Gallup is I had Evans and Allen as the older guys I'm going to start. Mm-hmm. And I bought Lockett for 9. And I was like, I'm going to roll those three out. And then I took my two shots were on Tony or Gallup figuring it out. Like, I was like, this isn't a bad bet. He's in the right offense. Mm-hmm. Now, is it going to definitely work? No, but it was $20 and it was late. And I'm not worried. If he can't play early in the year, I'm not counting on him playing. I don't care if he doesn't play for 6 to 8 weeks as far as what I was doing. For me, it's trying to balance out that wide receiver room with at least someone a little, I mean, he's what, 27? It's not like he's young, but younger than having Evans and Allen at the top and Lockett, who's probably older than both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, Yeah, and it's I like the blend too. Like especially if like that's how you're gonna build it out. Like you have the blend, like you have a couple of the upside shots too. And again, Fuller for a buck is like it's awesome. Like when you start thinking about some of the other decisions that people make, and then you get for a dollar Will Fuller, like it just allows you the flexibility to do so many other things at different positions when you can get Will Fuller for a buck, right? When you can get, you know, instead of spending, you know, whatever that was, like $10 or whatever for JD McKissick, you spend two, like you spend less money on that for Cordarrelle Patterson, right? Or you spend, you know, $2 on you know, Samaje Perine, for example, like, or Jamal Williams, right? You just like look at those and you add those up and it becomes, I'd much rather end up having the cheaper person, I think, like the way you went, and then you're able to load up at the top of the board. And it almost becomes like there. This is a classic thing of as you look at this, it only reinforces my sort of theory that stars matter and depth doesn't, right? Because you start putting numbers to the depth, and you're like, oh yeah, I'd much rather have the stars. You know what I mean? It becomes that. It's very interesting in how that goes along. Let's see. So I did take a look at the. I don't know if I said this earlier, but we'll talk about this. You ranked let's talk about, did you trade any future picks?
I didn't. Okay. The only thing that anyone in the auction is really interested in moving or getting or first, I mean, they'll take the whole boatload, but I wasn't able to find anyone that just wanted to sell me a second, because the going rate for a second seemed to be like $20. If you're looking at first is 100, a first went for 100, and then the whole boatload went for 130. So let's say the seconds are 20, the thirds are 7, the fourth is $3, whatever. But no one wanted to just give me a second for just $20, and I didn't wind up acquiring any, and I didn't give up mine. Now, looking at what you could buy at 130, it's interesting. It's not the terrible idea. And maybe if I did it again, I'd look at a way where you could get two Supermax quarterbacks, trade away all your picks, and that can work. I just didn't do it this time.
Yeah, no, and that's the interesting thing. And it's like, so I have this theory about like, if you do drafts at different times of the year, you can really like sort of exploit different things. And that might be the lesson that I would use. Be like, all right, I'm going to be in, I'm going to sell, you know, I'm going to get 130, 150 for that, because like they're real players at that value. Like Najee Harris is $135, and that's what someone got. It's a 22nd player. Like that is right. That's really good. And that's, I think, again, I'm not sure I would necessarily want to go running back with that money, but if that's sort of what you're thinking, that's, I think, running back 4. He's actually behind Breece Hall, which is wild. Is he those third running back off the board behind Jonathan Taylor Breece? I think that's what it is. I might be misreading that, but I believe he's third. Yeah, so that's a lot to spend on Breece Hall, I'll tell you that. Breece Hall and AJ Brown, top 20 guys. I do think like that's the interesting pivot. And it, again, like, and then spending, like, I kind of wonder like how little you can spend outside the top, say. You know, if I were to do one, I think that would be the play that I would do. Give myself another top 20 guy with the money, and then say, all right, I'm going to sort of get another top, you know, not basically spend.
Like you could just get rid of Eckler on my team, add $130, and you could go from Rodgers to Mahomes or Allen.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that's how you'd get rid of the extra 70 I spent on a running back I didn't really need, but I now had the money to spend.
Right.
And then insert another 130. You've now got 200 plus, now get rid of Rodgers. You got 300. You definitely can go get.
You got another one.
Allen.
Right. Yeah. I wonder too, like if you look at the bottom, say, I don't know if this is going to work. It's not. If you look at like the bottom, you know, if you take out, you don't have any super mistakes in that range either. And if, again, I think the other thing that you would say is like, if you do that, then do you spend $26 on golf? Right. Like you might, but that's a position you might say, okay, like that's not money that I need to spend. or whatever. I don't think, like, I think the only places that I might quibble with was like $20 on Gallup. And that, like, the 20 on Gallup and the 32 on Tony, like that $52, could that have gotten you, you know, could that have helped you out at that quarterback thing, right? Could that have helped you gotten another elite piece? But outside of that, like, I like this construct. Again, I think the Goff balance, right? If you're more, secure, I guess, in terms of like the Rodgers future, with a Supermax guy, maybe you don't spend that on Goff. You can speculate for a couple bucks on someone else. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, like, I like the shape of which it happened. And I think if you wanted to go sort of star hunting, like, you could throw, if you just take that $135, plug a top 20 guy in there, all of a sudden you've got 320, 32, 35, 38. You've got five guys in the top 40. You know what I mean? It's a different, you have four guys in the top 38, which is good. I think that would make it, that would sort of give it another thing. But again, then you look at it and you say, all right, is Najee Harris really worth double what Eckler's worth? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't think you want to do it. Like you said, I don't think that's what you want to do. Just take the 130 and buy the $130 player. But yeah, you fixed the fact that I have Rodgers as QB2.
Right.
You just take money from wherever and make that work.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's cool. So no, I love it. How many of these have you done?
This is my second one.
Okay. All right. So, Is this better? How does this feel in relation to the first one?
I think I attacked the premiums better, at least tight end better. Last year, I built a really good team, but it didn't have elite tight ends. And it led to me having to trade. I traded Taylor for Kittle in a first this offseason. To fix tight end.
Okay.
So this time I was like, I'm not going to do that in an auction, make the mistake of not having an elite tight end. And in this case, sort of two-ish elite tight ends.
Right. No, that's good. The one question I would have, and again, I don't know I haven't done one of these. I used to play a ton of baseball stuff and I used to be maniacal about, like, I had a formula that would sort of update it all. Like, I spent way too much time in college working on Excel spreadsheets and not like having any sort of social life. It's no surprise that I spend most of my time in my basement now. That was something that could have been prescribed long ago. But I played a bunch of auction stuff and I did like a lot of this, like, it would update. And I basically had an inflation calculator, essentially, is what I had. It was pretty
playing geeky. Baseball since college too, auction baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's really fun there. And again, then, and it's literally, like,
it's live.
It's live and you can put I used to have an actual, like that's how Warp came about. Like, that's how I actually had done a Warp in, I knew what like an individual run was worth in terms of startup dollars. Like, it was like that sort of, I had gone like that sort of off the deep end. So it's interesting. Like, I want to get into this a little bit more because I think it's fun. And I do think it's like, there's some of the tactical things would be really interesting to look at too. For example, there's a very supply and demand aspect to it, the dollar amounts. And if you sort of opened up the bidding on Herbert, Mahomes, and Allen, and say you put you opened it up and you put 250 proxies on all three of them. There's no way you're going to get stuck with them all three, because someone's going to keep going with you. But if you sort of really push that, I'd be interested to see sort of what you could do to distort the position by just saying, all right, I am taking two of them and I'm going to spend, no matter what the amount is, I'm going to take two of them and push it and see sort of what happens. And if you sort of throw all three of them out there, you're not going to get stuck with all three of them, but you might create sort of a thing. And then if it's like, hey, all right, then I'll come back with Dak or something like that. Like, if you don't want to actually go all three, but I'd be interested in like pushing all three of them right off the bat and sort of seeing and going like crazy, because it's going to get to a point where no one's going to, cause someone's going to want them. And right. Because if they don't, then they're out. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the timing issue is a real thing too, because if you put them all at the same time, someone has to act or they're going to lose the option to do it later on. So I think that would be an interesting thing to try and push. I think a daredevilish, you know, flying without a parachute type of deal, but I don't think you'd get stuck with them all. And even if you did,
okay. I don't think they'll go for under 250 very often anymore.
Right. Right.
I think Larry's in one now and he's like, they're at 276 or something. Right. I think people are catching on a little bit that it's just funny money. You know,
yeah,
you can make the rest of your roster work. But.
Right. I kind of wonder, like, if you were like, all right, I'm going to spend $500 on two quarterbacks. I'm going to spend, I don't know, let's call it between 270 and 300 at the top three tight ends. So all of a sudden you've got, you know, basically $800 in five players. I'd be really curious to see, like, that's something I'm going to, as I sort of look at some more of this data, I really want to see like what that ends up looking like. Because if you just are able to, you know, if you just do a bunch of $1 bids, if you say, all right, I'm going to spend the last $20 is going to be, you know, 15 guys. Right. And you're like, all right, then I've got five guys. And then I've basically got five guys up at the top for 800. I've got, you know, the bottom 15 for $20. And then I say, okay, well, now I've got basically 180 on that middle eight. Yeah. Like, I kind of wonder what that construct looks like. But I think you have to be really, like, you have to really be willing to be maniacal later on and probably suffer from, like, it's just a dollar bid guys, or it's just a zero bid guys in terms of waiver wires. Like, you're just going to have to do that and just be kind of weak ahead on everybody. Right. You know, just be really in on running back threes, you know, or just really in on, you know, backup quarterbacks and just kind of constantly cycling through them. I think if you do that, it'd be a really interesting experiment.
Yeah. I mean, if you have Mahomes, Allen, Andrews, and Kittle, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a heck of a start, and that would have cost you 750 about in this one.
And that would have been, what did you say? It was
Mahomes, Allen, and Andrews and Kittle.
Right. Right. So that's basically, and what'd you say?
Was 750 for four.
750 for four. Right. And then you end up paying, you say, all right, like I'm going to force myself to basically spend only $20. And honestly, like, look at the back end of your, like,
it's not much. But yeah, I did the same thing with my running backs, at least. Like, everybody was $2 and $1 after Connor. Well, Patterson, I guess, got to like eight or something. And right. Brian Robinson was double digits because he's a rookie. And
that's right. And that's what happens.
Yeah.
But, like, you end up going, like, you go Gus Edwards, P. Ryan for three, both those guys for three, Breida, Burkhead, Snoop Connor, Mike Davis, Marlon Mack for two, Jamal Williams for two, and then Fuller and Sermon for one. Like, I don't know. If you had doubled that, like, how much, like, if you had doubled that amount of money, how much better would it have been? Like, probably not substantially different, like, in that range, in terms of how it ends up turning out. So, yeah, so I really like that. I mean, that's, if I do one, I think that's going to be like I'm going to try the most aggressive sort of stars and scrubs things that you could possibly like stomach and see how it turns out.
And in this format, especially because it's start 10.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you don't have to be that deep.
Right.
And if you're killing people with quarterback and tight end, you can figure the rest sort of out.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like if you have Steph Curry out there, like, just dominating a game in a finals game, like, and everyone else isn't very good, like, you still got a pretty good chance to win. And that's kind of like, that's that super max, like, turbo tight end, that start four or five guys duo or whatever, four or five guys there. That's a lot of ammunition for people to be dodging. So cool. So any last bits of advice for anyone in terms of like what you would think about them, you know, offering advice for someone new to the format?
I mean, I think we sort of talked about it. Push your money in where you want to get guys, you know, mm-hmm. buy stars. Don't be afraid of too much at the end. You're going to find a few guys you like cheap. And the discount on veterans is massive late, because people are now saving their money for anybody young. I mean, Lockett for nine is shockingly low, and mm-hmm. Patterson under eight also. It's just, so you can buy those kind of guys that can be productive this year late for dirt cheap and not really worry about, you know, shiny objects. Just buy some production now. Yeah.
I definitely like that. And that fits with the going super expensive at quarterback and tight end early. Like that all blends. That's the thing about, like, as we do more of this, like, and as we, especially in Superflex, I think that's a perfect example. You see it in auctions, or you see it in some of these other formats, well, in their startup drafts, but especially in auction, like what you just said, like the youth goes, you know, goes for a lot more. And honestly, like Brian Robinson going for, what is that? Like he ends up going for, I don't know, like four times the amount.
That, too much, but that, I was in on it.
Yeah, but yeah, no, and that's fine.
$12.
Like, that, like, he's going as four times as much as Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
Like, it's that it might only seem like $9, but when you actually say he's going for four times as much as him, yeah, right? Like, you start thinking about those things and you're like, okay, like, it becomes a totally different scale of what you judge these guys by. Again, he's a better player, but it ends up being like, okay, like, you start sort of looking at the, you know, if you want to be super warpy and maniacal about it, you start looking at the numbers and it's like the it's a flatter range in there and it becomes, okay, like let's push the flatness of it out and we'll just sort of, we'll be in on the, you know, we'll just sort of take the more elite view of it. So it's interesting. I think it would probably scare people. Oh, we didn't talk about this. This is amazing, by the way. This is the most dynasty thing. No one ever would do this ever. It, like, in any sort of real world thing, I don't think, outside of dynasty, someone goes early on Kyle Pitts, gets him for $202, which is by way of reference, just so we're clear on this, this is after Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Jackson, who's quarterback 4, Murray's quarterback 5, Burrow 6, Prescott 7, Wilson 8. Kyle Pitts is the 9th player off the board. Not only is he the 9th player off the board, he is the most expensive non-quarterback in this league. Okay, he's the most expensive non-quarterback in this league by $6. Jamar Chase is the next one. The guy that gets him, I still can't believe that this happened, and I'm so glad. I almost forgot to mention this because it's incredible. The guy that gets him also gets Mark Andrews, and he got Mark Andrews
146, I think.
He got it's Mark right Andrews around at there. 146, a pretty steep discount. And he got Mark Andrews. He bid on them both at the same time. So
I think he had him, yeah.
Yeah, so that's that might be part of what happened to this person. And he was in on Russell Wilson, pretty expensive too, it's worth noting. But he ends up getting Pitts at 202. And you had done some research on this. And you're like, that's not that expensive relative to where other guys are going. He ends up getting Pitts at 202 and then Mark Andrews at 147. And then he trades. I still can't believe that. I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. He trades Kyle Pitts for straight up for $190 bidding dollars. So he basically takes a $12 loss on Pitts literally the next day, I guess 2 days later. He does it. He wins the bid. I'm sorry. He actually wins the bid on May 31st. And then he does the trade the next day on June 1st. So he takes a $12 loss on the ninth player in this dynasty auction because of, I don't know. That seems, again, that's paying. That is literally, you could put it on a poster of like, this is what happens when you pay for depth, because that's ultimately what he ends up doing, right? Is he's like, oh, I can't have this. I have to pay for depth. And they literally took a $12 tax off the top of it. Like, that's what he ends up doing. So, because if you look at it, he ends up going like, I don't know. He ends up spending $42 on Irv Smith, $36 on David Bell, $10 on Mitchell Trubisky, $10 on Josh Palmer. Right, like you start looking at that and you're like, oh my god, like it just hurts even more to think about taking that loss. So
yeah, Pitts and Andrews wasn't a bad start.
I mean, Burrow, Wilson, Pitts and Andrews and yeah. Cooper Kupp, like I don't know if that fits ultimately how it does it, but Derrick Henry's in there as well, like who knows if that's actually how it starts. Maybe one of those guys isn't in there, but that's pretty wild. Okay, one last piece of thing that I actually did in terms of looking at these. So we had a sample of five drafts that have happened basically this offseason. So enough to sort of give us an idea of what was going on. So I went and I just sorted I did the average of cost by round. Again, not the most analysis that you could, this isn't the most thorough analysis that you could do, but just in terms of giving you an idea, $202.08, 9 cents, I guess, is actually the average first round as the average top 12 player. 138 is the second round player. 103 is the average third round player. 88 as the fourth. And then 75 is the fifth. So you start looking at those and it's, it ends up, which is interesting when you think about it, like is a fourth and a fifth worth like a second? You know what I mean? Like you start looking at those things and some of the trading stuff and about how the market looks. I'm really curious to sort of overlay this of some of the warp stuff as well. You look at, again, you start thinking about sort of going deep down the line of our theory, basically of, hey, we want to spend, what do you want to spend? $20 on the last, 10 to 15 guys. Those are basically outside the 20. So the 20th round is basically worth $3.54. And then it's $2.44 in the 21st round. And then it's less than $1 from there on out. So you think about that. You're thinking like, all right, from rounds 22 through 28, you're trying to nab basically two guys a round. That's kind of what the budgetary thing would put you in, right? And maybe it's, in the last 20, in the last, the last eight or nine rounds, you're really thinking that. And I think it's probably doable. And, there's guys we like in that range, right? There is guys we like in that range and sort of be willing to go to that. I think that's how you would do the stars and scrub things, but I'm really interested in playing with this and seeing more along as we go. What is funny is I was actually looking at this and there is some inefficiencies that opened up. So for example, over these drafts that we did, So let's see, over these drafts that we did, there's a gap of, let me just make sure I got this right here. There's a gap of $9.50 between round 6 and 7. And then there's a gap of $9.50 between round 7 and 8 as well. So you actually look at this and it's like, oh, okay. But the gap between rounds 5 and 6 is actually $8.42. So there's actually a tier where it's like, where it gets, instead of shrinking, it actually gets larger in that range in terms of gaps, which is interesting. And then it sort of goes, it's not what you would expect in terms of how that gap ends up opening up. So some fun stuff there. We'll keep tweaking and looking at and the like there. So over the rest of the off season here. So fun stuff. Keith, I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate you you doing this with me and being flexible with the schedule as well, because that kind of got a little funky here over the past couple of days. So we will look forward. I hope to get you on another one of these and sort of see how it goes, because I'd like to see some more sample on this. But thanks. Good job on your team build. Yeah. And keep working going forward. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. And we will talk again very soon.